I noticed a few years ago that we as Christians have a tendency to, when we're talking about a Bible subject, we'll say, well, the Bible says this, you know the verse that says this. Off the top of our head, we don't remember where that verse is. We know the Bible says it somewhere, but we don't remember it. And so this evening's lesson, for some of you, this may be stuff you've never heard before, but then for others, if you're like me, you've heard this stuff, these concepts, but you've never heard the verses where we get these ideas, we get these concepts from. And so this evening, I want to talk about Satan. And my goal is to not be repetitive in the things that I talk about, but I want to be able to show you why we believe what we believe about Satan, how we've come to these conclusions, the verses that back up other verses, and how they all correlate and work together. So the first thing I want to look at this evening is that where did he come from? Where did Satan come from? In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So here in the first half, he says, all things were created on earth by God. I think we understand this. Everything was created by God. He says there are visible things created by God. Later in the verse, he says thrones and dominions. So those would be physical things. Those would be earthly kingdoms, earthly powers. Those were created by God. And then he says invisible things. And that would be the principalities and the powers talked about later in the verse. And these invisible things, they're spiritual things. They exist on the spiritual dimension, you might say. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we see what these principalities and powers actually are. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we don't wrestle against the visible things. We don't wrestle against, he says, flesh and blood. He says we wrestle against principalities, against powers. That's what the devil is. He is the principalities. He's the powers. He is the rulers of darkness. So, in Colossians 1, it said that God created the principalities and powers. And then in Ephesians, it says the principalities and powers are Satan, are the devil. So, from these two verses, we see that Satan was created by God. Now, I want to make a point very clear, and that's that God cannot and will not create evil. So, I want to look at this for just a second. I want to run through these verses real quick. In Habakkuk 1, verse 13, it says, "Thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he." Psalms 92, and verse 15 says, "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So in God is perfection. There's nothing wrong with God. He does not create anything evil or terrible or does not create sin. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In God is entirely light. There's no darkness. There's no evil. James 1, 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, and for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God won't be tempted by evil. There's no darkness that exists with him, and he won't create any darkness within you. He won't tempt you in any way. So God, I want to make this point very clear, God did not put evil into this world. He is abhorred by it. He does not like it. He will never create it. He will never cause us to sin. So when Satan was created by God, Satan was not evil. And we'll read a verse later in Ezekiel chapter 28 that will coincide with these verses. So we all know the verse that Satan walks among us as a roaring lion. So he's down here on earth. He exists with us. Why is he not in heaven? What happened? So, in Revelation chapter 12, the writer is talking about Satan and his battle that he has with Jesus. And in this battle, he's fighting for people's souls. And it talks about that throughout the chapter, but it also talks about why Satan is not in heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 7, it says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But the dragon was not strong enough to prevail, so there was no longer any place left in heaven for him and his angels. So that huge dragon, the ancient serpent, the one called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was thrown out down to the earth, and his angels along with him. So here we see part of the story of Satan. Satan and his angels are fighting Michael, and they lose this battle. And because they lose this battle, they're kicked out of heaven. In Jude 1, verse 9, it goes into a little more detail about this battle. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" So here we see that Satan was fighting Michael because he wanted the body of Moses. Now, why he wanted the body, how that all works, I don't understand that. But the main concept is, Satan lost a battle. He was existing in heaven. He fought God, or he fought Michael, and he was thrown out because of that. So, Satan was created by God. He was not evil when he was created, but he did fall from heaven. So that's how he's down here on earth with us. So what is Satan? Jude 1, verse 6 says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So these angels, says these angels that kept not their first estate, they didn't keep their first home. They didn't stay where they originally were. It says they left their habitation. They left their home. Something happened. And it says a new place is reserved for them, a place of everlasting chains under darkness. 2 Peter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, due to be reserved unto judgment." Again, another verse talking about the angels that were thrown down out of heaven. In both of these verses, it says angels, talking about a large group of celestial beings. All it says is there were angels kicked out. It never says Satan along with him. But as we know from the previous verses we read in Jude and Revelation, that Satan was kicked out with him. So it lends to the belief that Satan is or was an angel also. So assuming that Satan is an angel, he's still created by God. It doesn't go against the theory we talked about at the beginning, how that God created the principalities and powers, and Satan is one of those. In Psalms 148 and verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." When God commanded, when God spoke, all these things in the previous verses were created. One of those things in verse 2 was the angels. So, Satan is an angel created by God, who was not evil when created, but fell from heaven. So when did Satan fall? Through my studying, I don't have an exact time, but I believe from Scripture you can narrow it down pretty good. But before we can do that, we have to determine when Satan was created. In Exodus 20 and verse 11, the first part of it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is." This is a concept we all know and understand. God created everything. In the account in Genesis, talks about what God created each day. And after 6 days, God was done making the universe and everything in it. And so the point is, everything was created in that 6-day period. There was nothing that existed before that 6-day period besides God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go to Job chapter 38, we all know the story of Job. He is tested by the devil. He loses all his physical possessions. He loses his family. His wife turns against him. His friends turn out to not be much help, and he kind of is questioning God, why did all this happen to me? And now it's God's turn to talk to him and kind of put him in his place, and he's asking Job, where were you when I created everything? In Job chapter 38, starting verse 4, it says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The parts I want to get out of these verses in the very beginning and the end. It says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I built the earth?" And at the end it says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Sons of God, which are angels, they were shouting for joy when God created the earth. So that would mean that the angels were watching God create the earth. That means the angels were created before earth was. So Satan was around for the creation of the earth. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So on the first day, God created heaven, created the celestial beings, and then created the earth. And so for that to align with the verses in Job, God had to have created the heavens first, had to have created the angels so that they'd be able to watch him create the earth. So it all, again, it all fits together. It all stays in line with Scripture. So Satan was created on the first day before the earth was created. So back to the original question, when did Satan fall, though? If you skip forward a few verses in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, here God has made everything now. Verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." I think it's safe to say if anybody's going to know what good truly is, it's going to be God, who is, as we talked about before, there's no darkness in him. There's no evil in him. And he created the universe, and he saw that it was good. And I think we can trust God when he says something is good. And so that would mean at that point, Satan had not sinned. He had not fallen from heaven. He had not battled with Michael yet. So he must have sinned between the sixth day, which was the end of the creation process, and his appearance in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, where he enters the garden and starts talking to Eve. So Satan is an angel created by God who is not evil when created. He was kicked out of heaven between day 6 and is entering the garden. So why did he fall? We talked about earlier he had a battle with Michael and he was kicked out. But what was the overarching problem? What was Satan's real downfall? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's talking about the qualifications for elders, what a church should look for in an elder and things like that. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." So he says, if you're appointing somebody as an elder, this person shouldn't be spiritually immature, spiritually young, shouldn't be a novice in Scripture. Because if they're appointed to this role of leadership, they may get the big head. They may get prideful. They may, you know, realize their place of power and do things they shouldn't. So this person should be spiritually mature. Now he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Condemnation, it means the sentence pronounced, a verdict, a condemnation, the decision resulting from an investigation. So the punishment resulting from somebody's action, and this punishment has been thought out. It's not a random punishment. There's reasons for this punishment. So if someone becomes an elder that is spiritually young, they can experience the same punishment as the devil because they fall into the same snare that the devil fell into, which would be pride. And here I mentioned earlier, I don't want to be repetitive, but I want to show you more verses that back up this and improve this. So if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, starting verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So here it's talking about Satan. He calls him Lucifer in this verse. And it says, Satan wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to go up to where God was, go up to heaven, and then build his kingdom on top of that. He wanted to be the Most High ever. He wanted to have all the power. He wanted to have all authority. And we won't read it, but in Genesis chapter 11, we see the Tower of Babel. We see a group of people who kind of had the same idea. They wanted to build a tower up to God and have this great name and their name be spread across the world and everybody know that they accomplished this great thing. Again, we see the Tower of Babel. We see their downfall because of pride. And again, we see Satan's downfall because of pride. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it also talks about Satan's downfall. Ezekiel chapter 28, starting verse 13, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, that was upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. This is what we talked about at the beginning. God will not create evil. He says here that when God created Satan, he was perfect. From the day of his creation, he was perfect. But then, continuing in verse 15, it says, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, I have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So here we see Satan wasn't just a common angel, you might say. It says he was an anointed cherub. And so this would be an angel. A cherub would be an angel created for a specific purpose. In the Garden of Eden, in the story, once Adam and Eve are kicked out, God puts cherubs on the outside of the garden to protect the garden, keep anybody from coming in. These angels had a specific purpose. Now, exactly what Satan's purpose was, I don't quite understand, but this purpose, there was a lot of authority involved in it. There was a lot of, I don't believe it would be physical wealth, but spiritual wealth. It talks about all the jewels that were around him, all the wealth in his high seat that he had. But in verse 17 of Ezekiel chapter 28 says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. The ESV says your heart was proud because of your beauty. Satan fell because of his pride and his desire to want more. Again, we talked about in Isaiah, he wanted to be better than God. He wanted more power. He wanted more authority. He wanted more wealth. Now, if you're following along in your Bible, and you've read these verses in Isaiah and Ezekiel, if you look at the previous verses, it says that in Isaiah it says it's talking about the king of Babylon, and in Ezekiel it's talking about the king of Tyrus. And so you might, and I had this problem at first when I first read these verses. I said, well, this isn't talking about Satan, it's talking about these kings. But I want to look at something in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read this verse a lot when we're talking about baptism. Baptism is similar to the flood, in that the flood washed away all the sin, all the evil around Noah. The same happens with us when we're baptized. When we're baptized, the water washes all the sin and evil away from us. It's symbolic. It says that it's a like figure. Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law, this is referring to the old law, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. So the old law, it says, was symbolic. It says it was a shadow of what was to come. It was a foreshadowing of the new covenant that was going to take effect fairly soon. So God uses many stories and people to symbolize things, to foreshadow things. We see in the book of Hosea, the minor prophet, that he was called to marry a harlot. And then the harlot was going to run away, and Hosea was going to have to go chase the harlot. And again, that represented God's relationship with Israel. There are many times throughout Scripture that God uses somebody to symbolize something else or compares two ideas and shows the similarities or the correlation between them. So that's what is happening here in Isaiah and Ezekiel. The king of Babylon and the king of Tyrus, they were both very prideful. They wanted authority. They wanted more power. They wanted more wealth, just like Satan did. And just like Satan, it was the king's downfall. So Satan is an angel created by God for good, who is not evil when created. He was kicked out of heaven because of pride between day six and his entering the garden. So what does Satan look like? You know, we all, when you hear Satan, devil, Lucifer, or whatever, you all think of this kind of goat guy with the horns and the pitchfork and red and flames and stuff like that. Well, to a man, Satan might look like a pretty woman. Matthew 5 and verse 28 says, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. To a man, the devil may come in the form of lust. To a woman, it may come in the form of a pretty woman in the mirror. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning, or plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God of great peace." So to a woman, the devil may come in the form of pride, in the form of physical beauty. He may come in the form of obtaining physical things, obtaining physical wealth. Matthew 19, verse 23 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." He may have come in the form of being able to fit in, of being able to be loved by the world. John 15, 19 says, "If you are of the world will love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." We all want to fit in. We all want to be loved by everybody. We all want to be a people pleaser. He says, if we're following God, the world's going to hate us. Satan may come in the form of us wanting to be loved by the world, which means we'll not be following God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, I'm going to read it out of the ESV. It says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light." It says, you know, Satan doesn't go out and looking how he actually is. He disguises himself. He doesn't disguise himself as a rock or a tree or water or something passive. He says he disguises himself as an angel of light, something good, something that will bring you happiness or peace or whatever the case may be. Satan looks good. Again, he's not a bright red guy with a pitchfork and all that. He's something enticing, something that pleases the senses. Hebrews 11, verse 25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." I think in some ways we might have done a disservice when talking about sin and saying that sin is evil. Sin is very fun. It pleases the senses. It tastes good. It looks good. It smells good. It feels good. It brings you great mental happiness and all these great things. Now, what it leads to afterwards isn't good. But here in the moment, it feels good. It says, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Those pleasures only come for a season, just like fall and winter and all those things only come for 3 or 4 months. But you know, those 3 or 4 months are fun. It's those following months that are evil, those following months that are bad things. So there is pleasure in sin. That's how Satan gets you. He doesn't, you know, if he always walked around with a pitchfork and looking mean and evil, everybody would stay away from sin. He looks like something good. And that's why it's so easy to fall into his trap. But James 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So Satan is acting when anyone or anything is keeping us from submitting to God. We're told that we have to submit ourselves to God. That's how he will flee from us. That's how we'll stay away from him. In our opening scripture in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, it talked about putting on the whole armor of God. Meaning, and it goes through, talk about the different pieces of armor and what they represent and how we can use them. But the overall concept is that we're surrounding ourselves with the Word of God. We're surrounding ourselves with godly people, with knowledge of a scripture, and that's how we're able to combat sin. That's where how we're able to identify Satan and flee from him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So we read this verse, we have this picture in our mind of, you know, Satan, he's this big old cat walking around yelling and making all this noise and all this ruckus. But, you know, that's not what a lion does when he goes to get his prey. He's quiet. He sinks down in the grass. He goes and sneaks up on something. He's not obvious to the prey. He's not obvious to us. He looks like something good. He looks like another piece of grass laying down in the forest or whatever the case may be. He looks good. And so, again, we have to be aware. We have to be aware of our surroundings. Matthew 25 and verse 41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This is talking about Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, there'll be two groups of people. One group will go with Jesus. One group will go up to heaven where God is. The other group is going to go to the same place where Satan and his angels were kicked out of heaven have gone. So again, we need to make sure we're on the right side of this. So Satan is an angel created by God who is not evil when created. He was kicked out of heaven because of pride between day six and his entering the garden. He walks the earth trying to take as many souls to hell as possible and hides himself in things which look good. When we watch the Super Bowl, we pick a team. And you may have a team that it's your ride or die team, or you may look at all the numbers. You may look at the passing yards and the rushing yards and who has the most interceptions and the least fumbles and all these things. And you compare the numbers and the stats. And so you try to pick the best team. You know, even if you pick the best team on paper, that team still may lose. There's still an element of risk if you're betting on one certain team. But now in this game, we know who wins. We already know who the winning team is. In this battle that's going on, we know who wins the war. Satan may win a few points. He may win a few battles. But at the end, God's going to win the war. We have to make sure that we're on the winning team. And we can't do that unless we're able to identify the enemy, call him out, and flee from it, and combat those evil things. So that's my lesson for this evening. I hope it was beneficial. Like I said, a lot of these concepts may have not been new to you, but if you're like me, you haven't heard the verses that back up these beliefs and these concepts and these ideas. So again, I hope it was beneficial. And it's our job to remember, you know, the devil, he doesn't look like the mean, scary guy. He looks like something good and pleasing. So if something's good and pleasing, we need to think about it for a minute and see if it's from God or from Satan. As always, we offer the invitation song. If there's someone who would like to be baptized this evening, or if you need the prayers of the church, you can come forward while we stand and while we sing.